for Morningley.
And on your front page there, the track talk heats up.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is in regards to the Sandy Cape track. It's always been a hot topic of discussion around Circular Head. It's always split the community right down the middle. But recently, an Aboriginal Heritage Assessment Report was completed and handed to the Arthur Pyman Conservation Area Management Committee to endorse, which kind of was looking likely to close the tracks completely to everyone. So at the moment, you can't get in there with any off-road vehicles, but you can get in there by foot. This report is looking likely to have just cut that access out completely. The APCAMC refused to endorse the report, saying that it was biased. They had it reviewed by a Northwest Aboriginal historian called Dr. Ian McFarlane. He agreed that a lot of the historical significances that they pointed to were incorrect and weren't cited. He backed that it was a biased report. They've released an 11-page review of that exact report, which was tabled at a meeting between the committee and the ministers on Friday afternoon. At that committee meeting, there were plenty of people outside wanting to chat to the ministers before they went in to share their opinion. The Wise Women of the West turned out. Some of the Circular Head Aboriginal Corporation turned out. They're calling for inclusion, not exclusion, getting those tracks back open, maintaining a key piece of the heritage of Circular Head available for everyone. But Michael Manzel, not very happy about that one. He endorses the initial report, says it's not biased in any way. He would like to see the tracks handed back over, so it'll be interesting to watch this one with keen interest and see how it ends up and if the tracks remain open or not.
Yeah, the Circular Head Aboriginal Corporation are vocal. They have stated they believe that people with Circular Head should have access to that area, and the exclusion is really a step backwards, isn't it, as they work towards reconciliation. So that's on the front page of the paper. And also a big talking point over the last couple of weeks is the situations with the factory workers at McCain's in Smithton.
They've been working towards getting a 1% pay increase, 3 extra days of sick leave and better pay for apprentices down at McCain. They've been working towards a couple of other key points that the McCain have kind of come around to, but those three they were kind of refusing to budge on. As a result, the union threatened industrial action. They were all going to take their lunch breaks at the same time and a few other breaks throughout the day, hoping to keep the plant open and still remaining at the same level of productivity.
And over a number of years, they've taken very minimal pay rises, so spare a thought for the workers who are very, very important to keep the company going in Smithton. In the sporting pages, how's this for a story? Cheryl Pedley, she's had issues, she's travelled a lot of adversity, but she's in the stateside. Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, so she actually had scoliosis from a very young age. She had back issues for most of her life. When she was young, she said she was doing something silly, also injured her coccyx, and then later on in life had quite a lot of back pain, was still bowling though, and then fell and dislocated her spine. They found an arthritic disc in her back, and she had to have a quite major back surgery. She thought she was going to never be able to bowl again. If she hadn't had that surgery, she would have ended in a wheelchair. But she managed to get up out, and she's been working very hard on it, and she's taken up arms bowling. So she has this extension thing called an arm. It releases the bowl for her so she doesn't have to bend down. And since taking it up 4 years ago, she's now been selected as one of the state arms bowls team for bowls, which is absolutely fantastic. A huge story there. I had a chat with Cheryl last week, and it was quite inspiring to hear all the things she'd overcome. So good on you, Cheryl. Good to see you back.
And it just proves they breed them tough in Circular Head. In the sporting pages with hockey, Canaries survived a win against the plucky Mustangs. But in the football at the moment, we've had Redbar on top of the ladder for most of the season in the Circular Head Football Association, but they're not this week.
It's really interesting in the Circular Head Football Association. It's heating up at the very sticky end of the season. Redbar have led for 11 of the 12 games of the year. They've been on top of the ladder. They've only lost a couple of times. They lost to Scotchtown early in the year in atrocious conditions in town. Then they lost to Irishtown in the mud last week, their first two losses of the year. And then in an upset, they lost to Scotchtown again on the weekend and dropped down to second. So after leading for the entire year, they're now in second place. Scotchtown go in as favourite. But Irishtown, having also beat Redbar the year before and then handing out a 135-point victory over there over Forrest Stanley, who they will meet in the finals this week. It's going to be very interesting to see how the finals unfold this year with all the teams in such good form. So I'm looking forward to getting down and watching a bit of that. Should be an absolute ripper. The Mustangs still goalless, but looking much more likely every week. They play Tigers Black, fourth on the ladder. Mustangs are fifth this week, so hopefully they'll be able to score one before the season is out. And we have all the news from the GNL as well. The Saints struggling a little bit as they link towards the back end of the season. But all the sport, all the news in this week's paper, she's jam-packed.
Jose Popolski, always first to deliver it for us, and you have a great day. We'll talk to you again next Thursday morning, a little after 7.
No worries at all, Leah. Look forward to it.